Hello, everyone, and welcome to NotCast, episode 194. For real this time.
Holy crap, 194.
Yep. Would have been more, but we've been really, really busy the last few weeks.
Yes, and oof. It's just going to keep getting busy for a little while. I mean, we're coming up on holidays, and that's always...
Yep, it's OklaCon's few weeks. In fact, OklaCon is in...
Not this weekend, next weekend.
But next weekend, yeah. Well, I'm going up there on the 18th.
Okay.
Well, and I'm coming back on the 22nd because hardcore vacation weekend, that is.
I'm going to be going to up that Thursday and driving back that Sunday.
We have the full range of the room nights. And looking forward to that. That'll be cool. So anyways, I'm Saverin.
I'm Shiva.
Fuzz is off.
At a con.
At a con, again. Galaxicon. I don't know where that's at.
I don't know either.
Minnesota's... It's up there in sort of the mid-north area.
To the back Google.
It's in the U.S. somewhere.
That's a very broad...
It's a pretty broad area, but I think he's here in the U.S. as for me, it's just the last couple of weekends have just been crazy busy.
Oh, God. I'm exhausted.
Tons of stuff going on. And, like, when we would get together on, like, Friday nights, we wouldn't get available till super late. Starting recording at 10 o'clock is totally not a good idea.
Yeah.
But right now it's only 8:23.
It's Sunday, so we're a little bit off.
It's schedule. On Sunday, yeah. Recording Sunday, but it'll go up tonight. Because I'll render this out and throw it to Panther the moment he gets home. Because I don't like leaving people hanging. I don't like people with the unknowns. Don't want to scare anybody. Like, oh god, they're going to pod vid without saying anything. No, you'll let us know. We'll let you know when things change.
There'll be a sign off. So
yeah, we're here. And still my queer. Day was pretty cool. I hung out with friends. Nothing terribly exciting there, but it was fun. And so how many dozen varieties of fried foods did you eat today?
I think I ate like 10 different varieties of fried food today.
Fantastic. And where did you go?
I went to the Texas State Fair, and it's gigantic, and I walked forever, so my legs hurt, my back aches, my feet are throbbing, and it was a fantastic time.
Yeah? Did you take the train down?
No, we drove.
Ah.
So we drove in, we drove out. Some of the other locals, they trained in, but we were just... Well, Sarah was like, I take the train every day to work. No, let's just drive down.
Yeah.
It'll be like going to work. No. No, that's tomorrow for him. I have tomorrow off because I'm a lazy bitch. And I work in a semi-related to financial industry thing called... And I have Columbus Day off. It was really awesome.
Okay. And it was kind of weird. I noticed a couple of places around here had flags that have staff.
I don't know.
Was there something going on?
I haven't heard about it.
I don't think people would put half staff for Columbus Day. It's not National Day of Mourning.
No, haven't heard of anybody dying. No,
that's weird. Maybe it was local.
Maybe.
It's just I saw a couple and thought it was real weird while I was out and about.
Maybe it was something local. Let's see. Today I had... So we got to the fair around 10 this morning, maybe 10:30. Walked in, and it was cold, for Texas cold. So it was like 52 out when I looked at my phone.
It's a bit nippy.
Yeah, plus it was overcast, and there was a good breeze.
Uh-huh.
And it even spat rain at one point. But it was a really chilly, overcast day. Well, we got there at 10. It was pretty empty, so there wasn't any lines to get anything done. Let's see. Oh, God. If you're not a local Texan, Texas State Fair is well known for, is it delicious? Let's figure out how to deep fry it.
Yep. Well, most of the state fairs like that, but Texas, man, we got to step it up.
Yeah. Well, there's lots of, I've been to lots of fairs in other parts of the country. I haven't quite this variety of fried food on a stick before. no, actually, it was 11 varieties of deep fried food. There was the corny dog, which is like I don't like corn dogs. I really don't. And I like these. The batter isn't sweet. It's just a nice corn dog, which is amazing because I normally can't stand the things. We had, oh, Christ. Yeah, there were so many things. Mexican firecrackers, which were kind of like this tamale stuff. It had like a corn batter outside, like some kind of Mexican spice meat inside. And you dipped it in a nice sauce. That was my favorite, I think, of the day. There was like a deep fried pork rib with like a really tangy sweet sauce. We found a deep fried cinnamon roll with bacon bits. I couldn't really taste the bacon, so just think, you know, it was there nominally, I guess. So just think like a cinnamon roll that's been kind of lightly battered and then deep fried. It was good. Deep fried tres leches cake, which is like a big cake ball.
Uh-huh.
Dip it in batter, deep fry it really quick. So you got this crispy outside shell with like just warm, moist cake on the inside. For sweets, I like the tres leches cake. Sarah liked the cinnamon roll better. We had deep fried cactus with sauce. That was actually kind of interesting.
You know, I'm looking at the State Fair of Texas website. It's bigtex.com. Looking at the fried food contest.
We found all of this year's winners. We went and we hunted all of the winners.
Nice. Those cactus bites sound really good.
They're kind of, the cactus itself is kind of almost like a green bean.
That's the texture, yeah.
But the sauce they had was like this ranch slash jalapeno slash a little bit of honey mustard mixed in. It was really tasty and had a real kick.
Yeah. It's prickly pear cactus pads.
Yep, we got that. We found the picnic on a stick, which is like pickles. It had buffalo chicken chunks, like chunks of potato, all battered, deep fried.
Neat.
We found same stall one last year. It was buffalo chicken in a flapjack batter rolled in jalapeno crumbs. And then that's deep fried, and you have a little bit of syrup on the side. And it's actually surprisingly good. I'm trying to think of what else that we had.
The bacon cinnamon roll sounds really good, too.
You really couldn't chase the bacon. It was just cinnamon roll. The winner this year was deep fried jambalaya, which is like a – jambalaya is a Cajun.
It says shrimp sausage seasoning coated in flour and fried to a golden perfection.
What was disappointing about that is it was kind of on the pricey side, but you only got this little tiny ball of it. It was really tasty inside. But the thing is, for all this stuff I'm listing off, you have to realize that we bought it and then we split it three ways. So yeah. Sometimes four ways, because Guardian actually helped us with a bunch of the cactus ones, because he went in for that. He didn't want a whole one.
Mm-hmm.
We would buy a serving of something, and then me, Sarah, and Siam would all split it. So there was a lot of different things, but it was only about a bite, maybe two of each. Oh, there was also the mac and cheese sliders, which is a tiny little bun with a really, really thin patty. And then they had take mac and cheese, somehow managed to force it into like a square, batter it, and got it to hold together long enough to deep fry it. And then they put that on basically on top of this little tiny burger and you ate the whole thing. Keep in mind, it was maybe about four bites. So it was like one bite for me. And like Sarah had two and Siam had one.
You definitely pay a premium for this kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. So we had the entire winner's list plus a corn dog plus
those are always good.
The flapjack one, which was last year's winner. And it was interesting because we ran all over the park for some of these to find some of them. But the whole point was to go find ridiculous fried foods. We also went to a bunch of the show tents. We went and we looked at the car show. We saw the Kildares play. Of course, we ran into Guardian and the group that he was with. So we ended up hanging out, said hi to them for a little bit. Met them almost as soon as we got there. Didn't really go on any rides or go on play on the Midway. The Midway is just expensive. And rides we just didn't. End up just walking and looking and looking and walking. And we did that pretty much a full lap of the park.
Wow, that's pretty far.
Yeah. Saw the butter sculpture.
Yeah, you gotta. I like going to the handcrafts, like the contest stuff.
We actually spent a long time in that, just looking at all the little things that people
put like in. The various quilts and Legos, dioramas, and
yeah, all the
stuff like the children, the kids do, and all that.
There was one entry that I was surprised it didn't win. It was a wedding dress that somebody had done and completely beaded it from top to bottom. I mean, just the entire thing. I can't imagine the amount of time and hours and how many tiny little beads that they had put into this, like, lacework and needlepoint. It was so intricate. And I'm like, if you ever sell that, that had better go for thousands of dollars, because just the raw amount of time.
Oh, yeah.
Is, like, amazing. It was just, it was gorgeous. Trying to think of anything else that was, like, really, really jumping out. I'm tired right now. It's kind of a blur, so. I think that was one of the highlights of the day.
Yeah. Still, sounds like it had fun.
Yes, it was the first time. I've lived in Texas since 2000. It's obviously 2012. And for whatever reason, I've never gone to the state fair.
Really?
Yeah. Now, so I'm not a local. Siam's not a local. He moved down here with me. Sarah's a local. He's lived here his entire life.
Yeah.
He's a local. So he has this whole routine that he's done since he was a kid and going to the fair. And he just kind of dragged me and Siam along behind him. And that's kind of what I wanted to do when I went to the fair for the first time, is go with a local. They know where all the neat stuff is. Or at least where it should be every year.
Did you go to either of the museums on site?
No. Since they're there the rest of the time. Oh, we saw the bird show, the flight show.
Cool.
Lots and lots of neat birds that they showed that. But no, didn't go to either of the museums. They're going to be there the rest of the year. So I know we were thinking about going down and seeing like the butterfly exhibit at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And see some of the museums and such while
I just
down there.
I really love the fairgrounds. The 1920s Art Deco styling on all the buildings is just...
I'm glad that they're restoring a bunch of that.
Yeah.
It's a shame they painted over to start out with.
You know, people are like, oh, you know, we got to paint over this old fresco.
Yeah.
Let's then come back later going, holy shit, what the hell? We painted over a fresco? Uncover that shit.
Fix it. Fix it now. So...
Yeah. I just love the 20s Art Deco style.
That was the second time I've been to Fair Park. Last time I went was the spring to North Tex Irish Fest, which is much smaller.
Yeah.
But oh my God. So this is one of those days where I wish I had a pedometer, because oh my God, my legs are killing me. I mean, granted, I'm a fat and lazy nerd, but we still did many, many laps. Besides that, trying to remember, last weekend didn't do a hell of a lot. Just mostly, oh my God, all the pandas.
Yep.
Panda, 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 panda. I've got a 90 druid now.
Sweet.
And it's just, whew.
See, I've got a 86 druid, an 87 warrior, and a 90 mage. And what's funny is my shaman, she's hit 600 in both enchanting and alchemy. Hasn't left the enchanter's shop in Overmar.
This expansion, I mean, you can do most of your craft leveling without leaving town, but you can't do much with it besides the starter stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, you need stuff that you can only get by taking them out and doing things.
Yeah, you gotta go grind that rip.
And
holy crap.
Yeah. I've got my Death Knights getting up there. But mostly just working on the druid, trying to get it ready for raiding. But
You gotta do lots of dungeons.
I really, really like the new layout of the new expansion. It's really pretty. Especially once you get flying and you can go around, you can just look. The zones are just gorgeous. They did a lot of really nice detail and... They just did a lot of really pretty work, and they've done some really unique things with this leveling. Going through all the heroics at the end, they've brought back some old favorites, like Scarlet Monastery, they retooled. And then they've got some new bosses and such. And oh my god, this is the most furry game out. All of the new races. I mean, you got the playable Pandarans, so you can be a very nicely designed panda, either boy or girl. But all of the new races, all of the new, everything is an anthro animal of one type or another.
Except the Mogu.
Yeah, well, they're kind of a bestial oni type.
They're like demons, but not.
Yeah, like they remind me of, you know, like you said, demons are oni from the Japanese.
Yeah.
But they're not stock human.
No.
You know, and they're not elf.
They have the degrade feet.
Okay, well, they're a reskin Draenei.
Yeah.
But you've got mantis, you've got fish lizard people, you got lizards.
Monkeys. And the pandas.
So, but they haven't really introduced anything that isn't, you know, not an animal person.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like...
The Yongle, the Yak-Taran.
Yes, the Yak-Taran.
Who are all villains.
Yeah, well...
Well, Yongle, Mongol. Ha-ha!
Yeah, I know. Groan. But yeah, all the anthro races. It's like mm-hmm. They're pandaing to...
Have you done the lore walker
yes.
story for Jinyu?
Yes.
And their origins?
The Murlocs?
Yes. What the hell?
They're sage Murlocs, yes.
They're Murlocs that got fucking changed by magic.
And they're now super wise and, you know.
Yeah. But they still have a little blah, 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 blah going on occasionally.
So yeah, you thought the pandas were a hint of, no, this is all the furry.
And see, they should just go back and give the Worgens their goddamn tails back. Come on, you fuckers.
Yes.
I can make a super cute red panda girl with a little cute tail and roll around and kick ass.
Mm-hmm.
Give my freaking werewolves one.
But I'm sorry, their asses look naked without a tail.
Really, they do. And their faces are ugly as hell, too.
Well, the girls. The guys are not bad.
Yeah, well...
The girls are ugly.
Tell you one thing that I think is pretty cool about the expansion is the bind on account things you can find in the world.
Yes.
I found the top level spear out in Dreadwastes.
I haven't found anything.
It's a 450. Requires a Lady 6.
Siam's found one or two.
It's just...
Sarah hasn't had any luck, and I haven't really been super looking.
It's just one of those things that's neat. It rewards exploration. You know...
Mm-hmm.
There's a house at the bottom of the hill that you don't go to normally, or if you fall in the water, you got to swim across the river. What's in the house? There's a book on how to build boats. And it's like, it's a gray item. It sells for like 90 gold, but it says, like, you know, extremely detailed constructions on building a fine watercraft. You wouldn't understand.
Mm-hmm.
Just neat little things in the world to find.
Mm-hmm. It's been a lot of fun. I mean, I enjoyed Kata to an extent. I really enjoyed Wrath.
I like going back and beating the shit out of stuff at level 90, especially with the stat inflation.
BC was kind of head-scratching at times, but I think Kata was probably my least favorite expansion to date, but I've really been enjoying the content. Oh, that was one thing. It was on the theory, the tangent of, oh my god, all the Chinese. One thing that they opened at the state fair this year is they have a Chinese lantern exhibit.
Uh-huh.
Except they take a concept of Chinese lantern is silk stretched over a wire frame. Okay, do that, but make these sculptures massive. I mean, they rebuilt one of the model Chinese temples that was about three stories high of silk and wire frame. There's these massive displays. It was like two birds among plum blossoms, but it's of like three stories tall, about wider than this room, of just this really pretty display. There was a dragon made out of china, as in plates and teacups and spoons and egg cups, and it was 300 feet long. There's 35,000 pieces of china all hand-wired together to make up this dragon.
Wow.
They had four very large Kirins. I mean, they were probably about double my height. that were assembled out of these little tiny glass bottles that were filled with liquid, colored liquids, to make up like the scales and everything else like that. And they were just all wired together around a, like a central orb. There's four of them facing inwards looking at the central orb. Again, all assembled out of these tiny liquid-filled bottles.
Wow.
It was really, it was extra to get into it, but it was worth it because it wasn't a small display and it was really impressive. Like they had an entire orchard made of trees, peach trees, all built out of, again, silk and wireframe. And there were about, I'd say about 70 of these trees, all with giant, like basketball-sized peaches on them. I think the thing said there was over 300 peaches all made for this display. There was a lot. It was a really nice long hike walk. So
very cool.
But yeah, all the Chinese. Panda and then that.
Yeah. So. Aside from playing WoW and hanging with friends, my weekend hasn't been that exciting.
But that's a good weekend in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. So, yeah. Also, went to the Blue Goose today. It's good food.
Mexican. I haven't been there yet. It's... Oh, that's something I did yesterday. Zapnut, we did a bit of a pub crawl with Zap.
Yeah.
He got his 200th beer at the Flying Saucer variety. So he got his plate. So went and kind of celebrated him getting his plate. Then we ended up going other places when that closed down. So that was late last night.
Adventure.
And then up early to go to the fair. So, yes, it's been a long weekend. I'm glad I get to sleep in tomorrow and just fuck off.
Yeah, I think that's on my agenda for tomorrow as well.
Sleep in and fuck off.
That and maybe go get my car's 60,000 mile service.
You've already got 60,000 on that?
Well, it came with 55.
Oh. I thought you got that. Okay.
Nope.
But let's read an email.
Excuse. We should read an email, so I'm going to read an email.
Okay.
Start at the bottom here.
Okay.
Decisions. Dear Notcast, I'm a relatively new listener, but instantly began to follow the show. Unlike another listener I had heard on the show, there are days that do have enough hours for me to catch up. Yay! Anyhow, time for the question. I'm a person who always speaks their mind, but I'm at a crossroads when it comes to telling my mom about my sexuality. I am a bisexual male, but I can hide it fairly well enough for no one, including my mom, to figure it out unless I tell them. I'm really big on the whole going away for college experience, and I'm worried that my mom will disown me if she finds out about my sexuality. What should I do? Do I face the reality of coming out to my mom, or just keep it to myself until I've got my degree and have gotten everything straightened out? Thanks, Nikki Dalmatian. P.S. Shout out to Shiva and Zap with a sexy British voice. Smiley face. P.S. I did triple check the email for spelling, and I don't get burned by some... So I don't get burned by some of the few podcasters that I actually care about.
Okay, so come out.
Don't come out. So come out or don't come out. His mom might disown him if she finds out. Solution? Don't come out.
Yeah.
Go to college. Get that shit paid. Then be like, hey, I got a college degree. By the way, I like sucking cocks. Thanks, mom. Bye.
And it basically comes down to if you meet someone, if you start to really get with someone and it starts to become something that, okay, I'm really hurting the person I love, it's something I need to bring out for the health of our relationship, then okay, that's something you got to consider then. But if you don't have someone, if this isn't a really pressing thing, I wouldn't.
Yeah, at least, I mean,
you know,
if you think your parent might disown you over this, I mean, seriously, bisexuality, that's simple as shit. I mean, congratulations, dude. It's not that far out of normal, but some people take that shit real seriously, so don't come out unless you have to.
Yeah.
I mean, especially in this situation. Get school paid for, and after they spent the money, big deal. You got a degree.
Yeah, and then you'll be able to support yourself if anything goes wrong.
That's right.
So, yeah. Simple, sweet, to the point. L-shaped question. I guess I'll... Dear Shiva and Mem type things. Not actually men, just men type. Okay. Dear Shiva and men type thing. I had an odd experience yesterday, though admittedly one I'm rather happy to have shared in. I was hanging out with a friend when he started to ask me some questions about his relationship with his girlfriend. And to cut a very long story short, he ended up revealing that they're both rather kinky, both liking hentai porn and his girlfriend enjoying some mild BDSM play. Ever turned to assure him that I'm able to speak with at least a little authority on subjects of sexuality and kinkiness, I told him I was a furry and that I wrote porn for money. He was impressed, and I guess that is good a response for any guy can hope for under the circumstances. The more awkward portion of our conversation, however, and the reason why I'm directing this email to the L-shaped Knotcaster in particular, is as follows. My friend's girlfriend, also a very dear friend of mine, wants a poly relationship. He, however, has a problem even thinking about his girlfriend with another person. Worse still, if it was a man, though she is bi. He even went so far as to say it made him physically sick just imagining her with another person. I, of course, informed him that he has to communicate this feeling, though perhaps not in such terms, to his girlfriend, and he responded that he already has. His girlfriend has promised that she won't seek out any other relationships while they're together, but she said that she has had to be honest and that it would be hard for her to just shut off that part of herself. She'll try because she loves my friend dearly, but she says it will be very, very hard and painful to do. Needless to say, my friend is rather concerned. He recognizes that he's the limiting factor here and doesn't want to stop his girlfriend from being happy, but he can't simply reconcile the idea of being with her and someone else. He asked for my advice, and I said I knew someone in a functioning and happy poly relationship with a fair amount of experience in that type of relationship, and I'd ask him on his behalf. Thus, that's what I'm doing. I know the answer may be a painful one, a simple, it may not work if that's a deal-breaker between you two, but I feel I have to ask. Is there anything that can be done to help my friend when it comes to terms with a poly relationship? Or should he step aside to keep his girlfriend from hurting herself by denying a big part of what she wants from life just to keep him happy? You don't need to read this on air if you feel an email response would suffice, but I appreciate your input either way. Thanks. Sincerely, G-Saru. Okay, poly. It's been my personal experience that there's some people who are wired for it and there's some people who aren't. And when you mix one with the other, someone's got to bend or else somebody's going to break. If you yourself are not poly and you have a partner that is, it can be painful. There's one thing whether or not you're okay with letting your partner wander, and it's another thing if you feel the drive to form those other relationships with other people. That's what I mean. I have a poly person that was in a limited relationship for a very long time. My partner was rather jealous, kind of demanded that I would stick to him and my other mate and there would be no wandering, no nothing. And more than that, he was jealous too, limited my relationships with other people and actually actively interfered with people who I thought, you know, he thought I might have been flirting with. And it was painful, and it was... I didn't realize until I got out of it exactly how closed off and choked I felt. And this is just me. It might not be girlfriend's reaction, but it can be awkward and painful to be someone who's kind of built to wander, to not wander, even though end of the day, I still come home to my mates. I still love them. That's the life I've built. there's people who I would like to play with, and then there's people who I build a life with. There are people I will play with that are not somebody who I want to build an intimate long-term relationship with. They're two completely different emotional tangents, at least for me. That's not such a case for other people, now keep in mind. It may not work for them in the long run. It really depends on who bends and who just gives up. If she is capable of, you know, giving up that part of herself, then so be it. But it sounds like not only if he shuts down the poly part, the other thing is if she's bi, and this is something I experienced as well, then you're kind of still stuck with one sex or the other for the rest of your life. It's kind of choking as well, because you're kind of missing half of what your drive is to be with. So it really depends. I mean, this guy can... It sounds like he needs to build some more trust with his girlfriend, because part of that whole sick feeling is fear. I mean, you're worried that she's going to like X better than you. She's going to leave you for them. It's going to be... A lot of that jealousy is related to fear, and fear is, you know, you're worried about losing. So it's partially building that trust so that, you know, she is going to come back home to me. She is going to go out, have her fun, come back home. It could also be something where, okay, I gotta meet the person, or I would prefer if you only dated, you know, other girls, please, not another guy, or what have you. It might be her handing over a little bit of the control of the situation, so that I'm just going to go date X. She's going to have to listen to you. And if you say, whoa, she backs off. And you have to build that trust of, you know, I can step in and I don't like this person. I'm going to say no. And they respect that. And they don't follow up on it. There's a lot more... It's a sticky situation, and it's going to be a lot of talking between them in order to find their basic balance point, or it might be a deal breaker. So
there you go. The queen has spoken. Well, you're the resident expert.
Well, way too much experience.
The din mother.
Yes. Okay, your turn.
Let's see. That's spam.
Yeah.
I'm not reading that.
Let's see.
Let's see. Episode 97 story. Hello, new crew at Notcast. I was past your website and podcast info from a friend on FA who, in listening to your archives, heard a reference to a story, Come As You Are. He knew that I wrote a story by that title and said I should check it out. So I went to listen to episode 97, Pork Chop Windmills, and lo, the story was mentioned in conjunction to some straight furry stories. Interestingly enough, I've also heard of someone writing a similar story to mine, but with quite a different ending. So if any of you are interested, please feel free to find me, SpaceFox21, and my stories at furaffinity.com. I would welcome a review of Come As You Are and look forward to your response. Cheers, Space. That's cool. Yay! There's straight furry stories out there, and you should go check them out if you like straight furry stories. Apparently, SpaceFox21 is a writer of them. So.
Okay. Well, I'm going to... let you have the next long one, because I just read a long one. I'm going to take a moderately short one.
Okie doke. Off topic. Realizing my weakness.
All right. So.
Dear Notcast, it's Nicholas Scribetail again, and I'm in need of some advice yet again. I will not try to bury you in a mound of text, but I believe you should know the full details however long. Unfortunately, I couldn't condense it anymore, so Shiva, I think you're awesome if you're reading this. I'm very sorry. You can pass it to someone else if you want.
I didn't even get that far. I just saw his wall. I'm going to...
On a lighter note, I swam upstream and am now living in my home country of Canada in beautiful PEI.
Prince Edward Island, I guess?
That's probably it. I'll send pics my next email, smiley face. For a long time now, I've always held a distant love for well-organized individual...
Rubbing off.
Totally. Well-recognized individuals in the community. Not creepy stalker love, just an appreciation for the work they do. But I've always kept them at arm's length, never really making an effort to make contact with them. It's almost like I have this slightly irrational fear of successful people. This, however, is not the current problem I'm having. I've mustered up the courage to mail you guys and chat with Dryak, a commissioner I watch, although this took a long time just to gather up the courage to do those things. We don't bite. This next part I fear will make me sound like a bit of an asshole, but there's no good way to explain it. With every success someone I admire has in their field, i.e. writing a book, releasing a CD, drawing a great picture, while my initial response is excitement, I also have this subliminal twinge of another emotion, anger. I know this shouldn't happen, but it does, and it's gotten to the point where instead of inspiring me and pushing me towards my goals, instead I find myself coming to a grinding halt, thinking my own work isn't good enough. I did some digging, and I think I found out where the problem originated. There was a dark time in my childhood that's left me with more scars than I'd be able to tell in one email. This, however, is just one of the many. When I was about eight, my mother started dating the local Taekwondo instructor, who we shall call A, and for the first month or so, he seemed great. This all changed when we moved in with him. Long story short, he was a cocaine-addicted, malignant narcissist. To give you a good idea of what the kind of a guy he was, he thought of me, a child, the only other male in the house, as a threat to the point he held a knife up to my groin. Let's just say I was a little freaked out to remember exactly why he did that. Anyways, at some point when I was about 11, he started the Advanced Junior Black Belt class, and he put me into it along with a lot of my friends from the kids' class. The class was basically designed to advance certain students' belt levels to the point of achieving black belt in a fraction of the normal time. I trained hard, got private lessons, crammed so much information into my brain, I still remember the majority of the first, second, and fourth forms, complex sequence of moves. For the belt test, we had even had our grandmaster fly in from South Korea. He was a good man. I told my mother to leave A, despite A being one of his top black belts. The result of this was that everyone advanced except for me. Our grandmaster on several occasions wanted to advance me, but A's word in the dojang, Korean for training place, was law, and he kept me as low as yellow belt, second belt, for at least 2 years, until we finally left the bastard, while everyone else, even the kid I beat in sparring matches, advanced. In short, the lesson I ended up learning was that no matter how hard I try, I'd never make it to the top, or be able to stand on the same level as the ones who made it to success. This is where I believe my anger stems from. One of my current friends, another of A's old whipping boys, had similar issues. It took him many years to get rid of A's brainwashing. I haven't had the luxury of being able to do this until recently. Luckily, A no longer lives in the same province, and his dojang was shut down after he OD'd on cocaine in the middle of a kid's class. So I guess my question is, how do I overcome this brainwashing? Is this something I might need professional help with? Any advice or input would be greatly appreciated, as always. Thanks again, and sorry for the wall text. I look forward to hearing your responses. Take care, Nicholas Scribetail. P.S. I forgot to mention this before, but Fuzz, congrats on the house. Words.
So
you had a shitty mom's boyfriend who told you you sucked.
And did everything in his power to make sure that you
That is some powerful bullshit, man, and I'm really sorry I had to go through that, because, you know, I think... You know, the whole professional help thing is definitely a good idea. Use some of that there, socialized healthcare. Go talk to a counselor that deals in those kind of things. Because, yeah, I understand where you're coming from, at least with the comparing your own work to somebody else's and getting discouraged when someone else nails something that you weren't able to.
Mm-hmm.
But... You know, when it comes to that and anger at someone's success, like putting out a CD or doing a book.
Is he anger at himself or is he anger at the person?
He just says anger.
Yeah.
And that's really not healthy. And that is definitely something to go see a counselor about. Because, you know, nothing we can say on the internet is going to really fix that issue other than just talking it out over and over with... like a counselor, because getting some help to get this out of your system is a good idea. You know, I think it, you can tell yourself and say, you know, that what I do is good, what I do, you know, I put my heart and soul into, but you're still going to have that twinge when other people have it. So it's one of those processes that I think you're going to have to go through. Telling yourself, you know, talking to a counselor, telling yourself that you are producing good stuff, that you are doing stuff, that you do want to, you know, succeed and continue improving on what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, work with that, because this sounds like it was a multi-year process for you, and it's not going to be an instant fix.
And it's basically, if you think that it's holding you back, if you think it's impacting you negatively, if it's making life less pleasant, then yeah, I mean, if most professionals are nothing more than a sounding board. They don't give you answers. They just guide you into talking about it. And that, in turn, will help you work through some of the negative aspects. And sometimes friends will do this for you. And sometimes just having a professional, someone who's a step away from your life to just bounce ideas off of, can be a positive influence. Sometimes people get mad about going to psychiatrists or professionals, and they're mad because they don't fix things. Sometimes you have to try a couple of them to find the right one where you have a good rapport with them and actually to get moving forward on your issues. So it really depends. It's worth a shot, if nothing else. At least that's what I think. All right. I think that's about it for that one.
Yep.
All right. So here's another one. Pandas. Hey, guys. Saw the topic, or lack thereof, and decided to email in. I decided to download the starter edition of WoW a few days ago to see if this type of game I could get into. Well, I downloaded it after Cataclysm, but I swapped from my fossil laptop to my current one, so I had to do it again. And saw the Worgen, Goblin, and Pandarians were available with their respective expansions. So I selected a Pandarian Shaman and got him to level 5. Do you guys have any tricks as far as quick leveling up? At what level of races are able to leave their respective homelands? Also, Shiva, I have a quick peanut butter cookie recipe for you, Sarah, or any other fur can make. 1 cup sugar, or Splenda. 1 cup peanut butter. He recommends crunchy. And an egg. Mix it up. Pat the cookies in place on a pan and bake for 8 to 10 minutes. Let them set, or 5 or so, for them to firm up. It sounds really good. You can make more by doubling the ingredients, or you can add M&M's, chocolate chips, or other candies or dried fruits if you like. Hope you enjoy the recipe, that you guys are doing well. Remember, Savern, wolves might be the one in charge, but we foxes are calling the shots. The fox from Mississippi, Shade. So when do they get to leave their...
Pandas get to leave their island at about 12.
I think you get to like 16 with goblins, about that with Worgen.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get to leave their homeland and get into the wild, the wider world.
One thing that really helps is, and you can't do this until you leave the starter island for the pandas, is find yourself a level 25 social leveling guild. Or a level 25 social guild. That'll give you access to a larger pool of players with people willing to help.
Plus XP bonuses.
Plus XP bonuses. And most likely people that will help you acquire gear, give you some money, or generally just help you out. Finding a community, a guild community that's decent, has people that aren't all idiots, and will help you level, will really make the game a lot smoother.
Also, if you're a WoW player and you're listening, my gamer tag is Chimera, same as my Twitter, KHYMAERA, #1616. So you can reach out and talk to me on WoW, or if you're on any of the other Blizzard games.
I believe mine is Savern Drake 1630. So, I'll double check real quick.
I think you have to use a pound sign between.
Yeah, so. Savern Drake #1630, if I'm correct.
So, yeah, I play pretty steadily in the evening. So,
yeah, I'm easy to contact, and I am a very well-established character. I tell you what, pandas have been fantastic for gold. I have made approximately 10,000 gold in my leveling system.
Well, see, I play WoW. I play the entire game and everything else like that. Is that Sarah's? Yeah. Cyan plays a game called Auction House. So he does a little bit outside, and then he plays Auction House. As a result, I don't lack for any gold or wanting to buy anything. Because Cyan plays Auction House and we play WoW.
Neat.
So, let's see.
Yeah, I played the Auction House only very casually. And I've made like 2 or 3 grand over the last couple days doing it. I looked at my guild bank and was like, I'm not going to use this shit. What the hell? And just auction house or vendor most of it. So yes, my gamer tag is Savrin Drake pound 1630. I had to log in onto my bank tune and see. Also check my auctions.
Sarah's going to go, why are you on? I thought you were recording. It's like, I am.
Yep. So yeah.
Let's see.
I do think it's cool though that you can make a goblin and panda and worgen without having their expansion in the starter edition.
Yeah, that is neat. Let's see.
All right.
Should I read another one?
I can read one.
Okay.
All right. Hey, not casting casters. It was nice to hear the advice you have about the one long distance heartache. It was a bit of a red badge when I was explaining my crazy story. This email's titled "A Missing Information from the Heartache." This is an email from a bit ago. As much as I took the advice of finding someone local for a relationship to heart, I didn't realize until after you guys started throwing advice out that I had just facepalmed myself for noticing how scattered my question was, since I didn't mention that I wanted to be just friends with this ex of mine. I came to you guys wanting to ask if trying to be friends with his ex would be a good idea while I still had small feelings for him, which then led to the part of me either biting my fist while he talks about current or future relationships if we talked, or I confessed how I feel. But after hearing your thoughts on the air an episode or two ago, I just laughed and finally figured out you guys might be right. Mostly when you mentioned that I was trying to cling on to the one thing that I've ever loved before, besides my own family. Besides my head not being screwed on right at the time, I would also like to mention that before I listened to the podcast when it came out, I talked to some friends of mine about the issue I was having, and I explained as much as I could while they gave their opinion of forget about the sex, it wasn't worth spending your time to be crying or having a heartache over. Since then, and after the podcast, I've been trying to get let go of my feelings for him, as he did drive me to wit's end during the relationship to a point where I just broke down crying when we talked a few times. I've been trying my best to find people locally to get together, but I've decided I'd rather not deal with relationships, and not just because of the stress of school. Realizing how weird relationships are to me, and any words involving couples and relationships, I still cringe when I see couples around me. I feel like I should get over my spite of people of all ages and relationships around me while I play the old maid card for being bitter and single. Well, you really should get over that, because they'll just drive you nuts. Don't do that, kids. Friendship is a better way to keep my head up while stressing over other life issues and college-related things. Sorry if this turned into a more vent since I've been doing a lot of that lately, since I've been stressing myself out of instead of bottling myself up. A question from before, just in case you didn't answer it if you kept reading on, but should I try to be friends with my ex even if most of my feelings of wanting him back have mostly diminished over the many weeks? Sorry if this gets a little wordy, and I hope you guys are doing okay after hearing how hectic your life's been getting. You know, I think casual, like, acquaintance friends would be good. Like, occasionally meet at a restaurant among a group of social people.
Oh, this is a long distance.
Oh, right.
I don't know, get together, play WoW or something.
Yeah, just be like, play WoW, play Minecraft. Don't be like, oh, man, I met this awesome dude today, and do that. But yeah, just casual friends that, you know, find something you can play together. Join a PlanetSide 2 squad. You know, play WoW. Play any number of social games. Play Hat Fortress 2.
Hat Fortress.
So, get Torchlight and try to dick each other over with your high-level characters. Yeah. There are many options. Play Borderlands 2. You can get really mad when the other person doesn't heal you in time and you die. But it doesn't hurt you in real life.
Okay, so...
one more email, and then we'll go to break.
Okay, really quick one. I've known that I've liked guys and girls since I was around 13. I'm almost now, and I probably would have come out to my parents and family, except that things have become just a tad more complicated. About 5 months ago, I came to another realization that I don't always identify as male, but sometimes my gender identity is female. I probably would have told my parents that my father is a scoutmaster in the Boy Scout troop, and I'm scared for what might happen, seeing as how BSA is a private corporation and whatnot. Any advice for the fluid pansexual fur? I don't think that they'll impact the father, unless you are in the troop.
If it's his Boy Scout troop, they'll kick his ass out.
Yeah, but...
jerks.
If this person isn't in the troop, it might not impact things at all.
Yeah. Well... when you're that young and living at home, mm-hmm. it just really complicates matters, especially, you know, the non-hetero can be a problem for some parents, but gender fluidity is like a whole other ballgame. You know, gays and lesbians are fairly commonplace now, and people are a bit less hard-assed about it.
I would honestly suggest spend some more time thinking on this.
Yeah, for real.
And then wait until I'm going to assume that you'll go to college or something next year. When that happens, there's resources on campus for counseling. Use some of them. There'll be some. Also, there's usually a lesbian, gay, trans group on that where they'll have materials and information where you can explore this in a safer environment.
Yeah. Unfortunately, like with the BSA, unfortunately, and this is speaking as someone who spent most of my youth in Scouts until a particularly fateful hunting trip or camping trip. They have become a shadow of their organizational self. I don't know if really it changed or not, or I just learned too much, but you know, the BSA is anti-gay. They're homophobic. You could be the best person in the world and be gay, and they'll kick you out. Mm-hmm. You know, they covered up sexual abuse for decades. They're just almost as bad as the Catholic Church at this point in terms of the kind of sexual abuse they've covered up, mm-hmm. Which is really ridiculous to hear and really disheartening because, I mean, I grew up in that doing this stuff and trusting my scoutmasters. And no, I never had anything like that happen. The fact that it did happen and was covered up and scoutmasters were shuffled around for years, mm-hmm. Is really disheartening. And I read a story about where this kid did all his Eagle stuff, and then like 2 weeks before he was going to get his badge, someone outed him, and they're refusing him his badge and kicked him from the organization. This kid joined the BSA at like age 8. Mm-hmm. But because 2 weeks before he was going to get his Eagle, they found him out. They're refusing him and kicked him out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, they just need to fucking burn.
That really needs to be a protected right. You know,
they're private. Well, then they should stop getting any sort of funding from the government.
Do they get any?
It's chartered by Congress back in the day. You know, they have the BSA needs to be kicked down a peg. They need to get with the fucking modern program and handle that shit.
Set up an organization with the same of everything and just, you know.
They do exist. It's just they're so scattered and small that they don't have nearly the resources that the Scouts do.
Yep.
And there are some troops out there that are okay with the gays and lesbians.
But they keep it on the down low,
I'm not saying that everything is uniform, but I'm saying that it is on the down low, and it can still get you denied for badges and get you kicked out if you're in the wrong group.
Yeah.
It's stupid. It's 20 fucking 12. Get with the fucking modern age.
Pretty much. Ugh. But I would.
Yeah, this is one of those things. It's like no to Boy Scout popcorn, yes to Girl Scout cookies. That's what you should do. Grr.
So, break time, and then we'll be back.
Break time for reals. That's spam. All right. So, we're only 54 minutes in. We're doing great. We're going to play a song, maybe. Do an ad. Yeah. Oh, man.
Open Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style. Home to bring the taste, my kind of lady enjoys a classy cup of coffee freely, kind of lady. A hawker saw her in the evening, she's that kind of lady. And your twists are sexy lady. I'm that kind of guy. I'm warm as you are in the day. And I'm that kind of guy who downs his coffee for it cools. And I'm that kind of guy. My heart bursts when the evening comes. I'm that kind of kind of guy. You're so beautiful and so lovable. I have you. Hey! Now it's you. Open Gangnam Style! Gangnam Style! Open Gangnam Style! Ooh. Gangnam Style! Open Gangnam Style!
Hey, sexy lady!
Open Gangnam Style!
Hey, sexy lady!
Plays hard, but she plays kind of lady. Knows when to let her hair down, let it loose, kind of lady. More sexy when she covers than those who bear it, lady. Sensible and sexy lady. But I'm that kind of guy who seems calm but plays hard when he plays. I'm that kind of guy who goes completely crazy when the right time comes. That kind of guy with bulging ideas but no muscles. I'm that kind of guy. I'm that kind of guy.
You're so beautiful and so lovely.
Hey!
You're so beautiful and so lovable. Yes, it's you.
Hey!
You know it's you.
Hey!
Now let's go until the end is in our way.
Open Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style. Open Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style. Open Gangnam Style.
Hey, sexy lady.
Open Gangnam Style.
Hey, sexy lady.
Nine hands above the running man. Baby, baby, you know that I am the knowing man. The nine hands above the running man.
Baby, baby, you know that I am the knowing man. Open Gangnam Style.
Hey, sexy lady.
Open Gangnam Style.
Hey, sexy lady.
Open Gangnam Style.
And that was Gangnam Style, the English rock version by Cyril Rufus. Find it on YouTube, and I'll link it in the show notes. Vorizzle! So, we have an item this week, Shiva. Do share.
Porn.
Porn. What kind of porn?
Well, we tend to favor parody over serious. This week, Adam and Eve has a brand new one on their shelves, or whatever you want to call it. The Dark Knight Triple X. Again, we like to do comic parodies, and this is a new one. It's a new Batman one. It's got 5 scenes. It's 91 minutes. Comes with 37 minutes of extras. And it also includes
porn bloopers.
Yes.
Ah, it's in my eye!
And it includes a non-sex version. See?
Oh, God.
Getting that in your eye is not fun.
No, I was like, only when you have sucked my cock. Then you will have my permission to come. Just Bane.
Oh, God. That was such a horrible voice choice for him.
Oh, no, it was fine. It was great. I thought it was good.
No.
But no, I just had this middle image of just that permission to die line. Only then will you have my permission to come.
Oh, no. Anywho, the review reads, it opens up with a quote, "The craziest damn thing I've ever seen," Chris Sims from ComicsAlliance.com. So that just kind of sets it up. With Batman in hiding, Gotham City is overrun with crazy criminality from the Joker. Batgirl distracts the evil funny man with an intense pile driver into her bald pussy. Poison Ivy celebrates a blow to the Caped Crusader by sucking off Nightwing. Don't miss Catwoman seducing Batman and then see her in a cock and pussy party with Bane and Kathy Kane. Authentic sets, locations, costumes, and music will have you reaching for your popcorn and lube. Let's see, it's got, it claims award-worthy acting and sex. Directed by renowned XXX parody go-to guy Axel Braun, with a painstaking attention to detail and sex. It's a two-disc DVD in special packaging. Special non-sex version included, behind-the-scenes photo galleries, previews of Avengers XXX, Spider-Man XXX, Star Wars XXX, and Batman XXX porn parodies. Search by feature by sex theme. Let's see. Much like written fan fiction available all over the internet, this is how it reads, I kid you not. Adult parodies of movies like Dark Knight Rises offer a glimpse into an alternative universe for our beloved characters. With a XXX parody, you'll see sexually explicit action take place with a somewhat familiar storyline. And for many viewers, this is extremely exciting and a very big turn-on. Couples watching the Dark Knight XXX together will see some of the most gorgeous women in porn wearing perfect form-fitting costumes. Well, just long enough in some cases, before pursuing a sexual hookup in character. The men of Dark Knight XXX are accomplished, well-hung studs who are also damn good actors. And yes, those are real erections, no stunt doubles here. Vivid Entertainment has spared no expense in lensing and production quality of Dark Knight XXX. The cinematography is remarkable, as is the soundtrack and audio design. There's even a non-sex version you can watch in mixed company. Liven up a party with a, hey, want to see Dark Knight XXX? If you have a big screen, pick up a special time to view your copy. And, oh, by the way, some people think Giovanni Francesco's Batman costume is better than the original. So it had an interesting write-up. And I was really amused by the opening quote of the craziest damn thing I've ever seen. So the price for it is $27.95.
But wait.
But wait. With our coupon code NOT, you get 50% off. Also with our coupon code, if you spend over $17... You always get free shipping with it, but if you spend over $17 with it, you also get a mystery gift and a porn DVD. So, it there is bonuses to using it, and the money just comes back to us. It helps us get to cons, and it helps us, you know, pay for equipment and such. So, we do use it to get places and do things and do more live shows. So, it sounds at least amusing to me. Hopefully, if anybody orders this, let us know, because I am really curious on, is this actually as hilarious as it sounds? So, email time.
Yep, email time. Email, email. I closed my browser. Why did I do that?
Because you're special.
I'm pretty derp again.
It's late. On a Sunday.
It's not that late, but yeah.
Oh, it feels later to me. Like I said, I'm tired and sore, and oh. Getting up the stairs after getting back to the fair was like, oh god, no. Why do I have to live on a second floor apartment? So yeah.
Alright.
I think it was your turn.
This one's called Trans Stuff. Dear Notcast, after listening to last quarter hour of your last episode, I just had to write in. I'm a 20-year-old who's been struggling with my gender identity and body dysmorphia for a good 3 or 4 years, not including a lifetime of transgender thought and fantasy. A bit before I finished high school, I thought I just couldn't deal with these feelings anymore and confronted my mother about them. She and I arranged to see a psychoanalyst to help me through my issues, which went about rather well. With this help, I was able to figure out and break down my thoughts to explain that, while I wasn't comfortable as male or in a male body, I didn't feel like I wanted to be a woman. This led to the first time I had heard the term androgyne. Even spellcheck doesn't recognize it. Someone who identifies as not fitting in neatly gender roles society has placed. This has led me through a lot of pain in trying to find a place to fit in. I'm not exactly gay, since I primarily prefer men, but don't identify as one, nor straight or more or less any other sexuality. I recently found the term queer as a kind of umbrella term for not normal. Well, not mainstream. Normal is such a boring term.
I would say more...
queer is the not straight.
Yes. Not one of the usual, I guess you'd say. I wouldn't say, yeah, say not, you're not one of the usual.
Yeah, I mean, you'd say saying yourself is not normal, well, you're normal for your set. I mean, it's outliers. Doesn't mean that you're not part of the normal spectrum of human reality. For a while, I was feeling good. I knew who I was and how I thought of myself. But as time moved on, I realized the body dysmorphia thing didn't go away. And the more male and hairy and bearded I grow, the more I dislike these traits. The problem is this. I do not like being male. I simply don't want to be associated with a gender or have people look at me and go, hey, bro, what have you. But at the same time, I don't feel like I want to put on makeup every day or go through the voice training and get breast implants. I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place. I've considered starting hormone therapy. So far, that seems to be a good option. But I haven't even begun to approach whether it's available to people like myself. I don't want to seem like I'm discrediting those who vehemently feel they must change their gender by infringing on the option. But I think it might be what I'm looking for. Do you have any advice or words of wisdom you can share? I have to say I truly agree with what Saverin stated last episode, that people are people. I very much know who I am, what I am, and I'm very happy with that. The only question left is how to be my physical self in a satisfying way. Thank you in advance for any advice or words you can give me. Your Floridian Black Panther, Riohaj. P.S. Don't feel bad for liking the middle ground, Shiva. It's exactly what the few people like me need to hear so we can have hope of finding someone to love.
And there was another post edit.
Yeah, there was a follow-up. Let's see. Post edit.
When he said something about showing out what a real Cuban accent is like, and then probably not.
But he did. Let's see.
I'm not sure what the difference is between this email and.
Let's see. Hormone therapy, people. Cuban American Black Panther, Real Hajj. Yeah, I don't see what's.
So he's wondering if he's going to infringe on. The trans people who have a much greater gender dysmorphia. He doesn't feel like a he.
Or a she.
Or
a
she.
He is a they. Z.
I mean, really don't feel bad about it's that treatment belongs to anybody who needs it. Whether you feel like you've got an extreme case of gender dysmorphia or you feel like that you've got mild and maybe you don't, you know. If this is going to be what makes you happy, then this is what you need to do. It's not up to anybody to tell you, hey, no, you're not allowed to do this. You're not enough of X. If it makes you happy, it makes you happy. That's really all there is to it. And you don't really need to sit up and gender, you know, justify of, oh yes, I have enough gender dysmorphia for this for me to qualify as that. You don't have to. It just that's not necessarily a discussion you ever have to actually have with someone. Just say, this is what makes me happy, this is what I needed, and go down that road. So
yeah,
it's not up to anybody else to tell you that this is or is not for you. So long as you're being safe with it and you're doing it underneath a doctor's guidance.
For real.
And it, you know, makes your life satisfactory.
One thing's for damn sure. Don't be like, if, you know, you can't, the medical community is like, you really don't need this. Don't jump the gun and go to Mexico or anywhere else and get it done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously he said he's not looking at gender reassignment surgery, but still, you know. Follow your doctor's directives. Do, you know, if you go that route, which seems reasonable enough, you know, at least begin exploring that option. Just if you feel that's for you.
Be aware that when it comes to going from male to female, one of the things that they give you is they not only give you a boost in, I believe it's estrogen, they also give you a testosterone suppressor. So it will make you feminine. It will round you. You'll put on weight in all the right places, but
Emotions will go weird.
Your emotions will go weird, but also certain parts of your anatomy will not function the way it used to. So if you intended to keep the penis, it might become difficult to not really possible to have sexual relations with it. That's what I meant.
You always got a butt.
I mean, receiving will still be fun and everything else. It's just you'll probably have problems performing.
Yeah.
So be aware that that's something you'll have to give up.
But, you know, or then again, I'm pretty sure that this is sort of like the, all right, so you want to swap genders, like little 50s style informational film, black and white with jittery bits. And that'd be kind of funny if they did that. But anyways, yeah, I mean, if that what you feel is important for you, explore down that pathway. You know, see if there is availability for, you know, that sort of hormone therapy to help you feel balanced. I'm not aware of that, but then again, I've never looked. So I think you should go for it. You know, do the research, find out what's available, and if you feel it's the right path for you to take, do it.
Yeah.
There you go.
If it'll make you happy, do it.
Yeah, don't worry about what other people are thinking. Worry about what makes you happy in this case.
All right, so
that's
my next turn. Dear Knotcast crew, as is open topic week, I hope you won't mind me asking for advice in a little conundrum I have. The situation is as follows. I'm currently in a closed polyamorous relationship, and I'm still having a little difficulty connecting with one of the partners while the three of us are in physically intimate situations. To provide a little background, I am a submissive male, and they are a male and female dominant couple who now refers him and her, who want to include me in their relationship. While they do enjoy dominating me, I feel somewhat guilty that I am unable to do that much for her, as I don't have a general expertise when tending to female dominance or females in general. And he is rather enthusiastic, as it were, and kind of hogs me from being able to serve both of them as adequately as I would like to. Simply put, how can I serve my mistress as well as I do my master? Sorry for the cliché term, they just seem more snappy than dominant male-female partner. She says that she is content with helping me dress up and so forth. I cross-dress occasionally, and she's helping me become more confident in doing so. But I feel that she is being left out somewhat in the relationship, if only in the bedroom. I love them both dearly and wish I could help them more. But unfortunately, university keeps us hundreds of miles further apart than I want us to be. It isn't that far, admittedly, but it's probably the best way to stay near our respective universities for lectures. So I beseech thee, oh naughty and naughty knowledge, could you perhaps provide some help with the little problem? Thank you in advance for any and all help you give, and I hope you're happy and healthy. Kind regards and many hugs, Tuesday. P.S. This email is This email was written before I listened to the most recent Wheel of Fetishes episode and had never seen, but never sent off. And I just wanted to promise that the whole androgynous, submissive male and poly relationship was not inspired that episode, even though similar ideas were mentioned in Shiva's and Fuzzwolf's talks with their own fetishes. I just have a rather unfortunate coincidental situation. PPS, sorry for not being concise. I am rather full of words. It's okay. You got some of them out. You gave them to us.
The easiest thing is communication.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to say, exactly what you said to us, that you feel that you're not doing as much for her and want to do more. So ask her what you want her to do. Yeah, you're doing this dom sub play date stuff, but you still got to know on a personal level what they like and dislike. And if she wants you to do certain things, just say, all right, cool, show me how you like it. And let's practice it, because practice makes perfect.
And practicing is fun.
So communication is going to be the key here. You say, hey, look, do you feel this way? If yes, pursue it further. Say, okay, what do you want me to do?
Mm-hmm.
All right, show me how you want it done. And you have yourself a little training session.
Mm-hmm.
You go to class. You learn how to do X, Y, and Z for this female partner that you're not experienced in, because, well, that's just how it is. If you don't know any better, you can't do good.
It's kind of like, I don't have a lot of experience. Remember, learning is fun.
Yeah.
This kind of learning can be really, really fun.
Straight up, just ask them, and when you get together, you know, just...
And she might not be wired for this in the same way that the male partner is.
She might be just kind of like, no, it's cool.
Yeah.
I like watching.
Yeah, or...
And then in that case, you're worrying about nothing.
So
communication, ask him, and...
Go from there. Okay, your turn.
Yeah. All right. Trouble. Hello, Notcasters. Recently, I've been having trouble that I don't know how to solve. I feel like my life is falling apart and nothing I do seems to go right. For one, I'm 19 going on 20 and still struggling to finish high school. Any of the artistic skills I used to have, creative writing and music mostly, seem to have vanished, and no matter what I do, I can't seem to be able to write stories anymore or make music. Another problem I feel is that I don't have many friends, and most of the friends I do have don't actually like me, but I'm not sure why I feel like they don't like me. I'm just always nervous of talking to my friends or trying to make new ones, because I'm scared that people don't/won't like me, and a great number of the friends I have don't talk to me that often anyway. Recently, I've had trouble getting to sleep till around 5 a.m., in part because I keep getting sad, thinking about the past when things were better, and I seem to have friends, and then I start worrying and wondering if the people I thought were friends are just using me, like the number of friends I've had have done, or conversely, people that I thought disliked me were actually trying to be friendly and stuff like that. I'm constantly scared of failure or of being hated and stuff like that, and I'm not sure how to fix any of this. And I've been getting more and more stressed out and desperate from trying to fix all this and trying to hide my troubles from my boyfriend. Sorry for rambling and for my poor grammar. Take care and thanks in advance for any advice or help.
Okay.
Oh, son. I think you've got 100 problems.
One more than 99. Like, it sounds like he's got a pretty bad case of anxiety.
Anxiety? And self-esteem.
Probably a good dose of depression.
Yep.
Okay, here's the thing. First thing I can do is try to start out trying to get a better night's sleep.
Yeah.
When you're tired, you tend to feel down. When you're tired, you can't be creative. When you're tired, it saps everything out of your life. First thing I'm going to do is try to find a way to get yourself a good night's sleep. And this sounds petty, but my God, the cranky, bitter, painful, angry person that I am when I haven't slept compared to the person who feels really peppy and good is I am a depressing, cranky bitch when I haven't slept.
Yeah.
Now, so start out, find a way to sleep. And I know I actually have suggestions. There's a couple things you can try. OTC?
Over the counter.
Yeah. Try these first on the weekends when you're not going to interfere with your school the next day. I use something, it's Unisom. It's a little caplet. It's the same stuff that you have in Benadryl. It's that mild antihistamine that makes you want to go zzz without actually all the other stuff that are in Benadryl. So you take it. It usually makes lying down sound like a really good idea, but it's not like Ambien where you're going to go sleepwalk. It's over-the-counter, fairly cheap. It's not addictive, and I found some pretty nothing terribly alarming studies out for it. There's also melatonin.
I was going to suggest that.
It's the same deal. I was going to try that probably over the next couple weeks myself. I'll let you know how it goes.
Guardian uses it and says it gives him really vivid dreams. I want to try that.
Again, try it on the weekends so that you know what you're facing. Don't do it on a school night. And again, you usually take it 30 minutes before you want to go to bed. And it's what your body uses to regulate your sleep cycles. So people use it to get over jet lag. And there's also several other tips you can look online for sleep aids. I've tried the warm milk trick. It does help because I have a problem sleeping. My brain doesn't turn off. I keep thinking constantly. I have a hard time shutting off and going to sleep unless it's like 6 in the morning because I am natively nocturnal. If I can sleep during the day, then I sleep like a rock. If I try to go to bed before the wee hours of the morning, I don't sleep. So... And this comes from working night shifts for many years. So I'm all too familiar with anxiety and it keeping you up and it kind of sapping your brain. Yep.
Because, I mean, I know exactly how he's talking about, but not to the extent that he's got. I mean, but I occasionally have, you know, I'm sure everybody does, those moments when you're just sitting there late and then your brain goes, hey, remember that time you were 16 and you said that really stupid shit to that girl and she didn't like you anymore? You idiot.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh my God, what did I do? Mm-hmm. I bet she hates me. When the actual idea is, no, she doesn't remember anything and you're being an idiot for worrying about stuff that happened 12, 13 years ago.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Oh God, the one that, yeah, I've got a couple of, oh my God, you're a fucking
idiot. Yeah, there's stuff like that. It still pops up occasionally. I mean, and it's human nature to, when you're sitting and thinking and then you go back about something that you aren't happy about, you know, even if it happened 15, 20 years ago.
As far as your friends or not friends or whatever, all I can say, and this is a philosophy you really have to adopt, is fuck them. And I don't mean that in a
literal sense.
They should go, well, that can be fun too. But I mean, you really have to stop caring so much what other people think. Do they like you? Do they not like you? It's just kind of like, do you enjoy their company? You kind of have to look at actions as well as words. Do they ask you to do things? Do they smile when they see you? And as far as being used, what are they using you for? I mean, do they only like you when you give them rides places? Because, yeah, that's using. If it's just they like to sit with you at lunch and talk, that's not really using you. That's just being friends. So you kind of have to look and say, okay, people are using me. What are they using you for? What do they get out of this?
Yeah.
Because other than that, you can talk yourself into some really bad places.
Reels.
Besides that, as far as writing and drawing, I hear you. My last year of high school, I wanted to draw comics. I drew and I wrote. And then sometime after, around that time, my creativity just went poof.
Yeah.
And some there are actually online, there are some actual, I keep saying actual, there's some tips for breaking the blocks. So there's everything from forget about what you're trying to write about. They can just be sit down and noodle about anything. You know, sit down there and just write out new characters. Just not for trying to work on one project. There's actually, and this happens with art too, artists do warm-up sketches for a reason. It's not just because it's, or to loosen up the wrist. There's actually, with what you're using in your brain, to kind of kick over into a different side of your brain, the more creative side. You start by doing little things, whether it's noodling out another couple of stories or maybe think of the world of your creations in general and think about like some of the critters that might be running around or some of the landscapes. Think about some kind of weird little thing that's going off on the side. Not necessarily about the whole tangent that you're trying to write about, but just kind of look at the little details, noodle about them. Or if you're an artist, I usually warm up by drawing heads. I usually draw faces, expressions, wireframes, and bodies. And I usually end up having to do a couple of warm-up sketches to kick over that side of my brain before I can actually get anything of note out. And sometimes the mojo just doesn't go. You can't make the switch over from one to the other. And nothing comes out of it. And at that point, you got to kind of step up, walk away, realize it's not going to come. And try not to stress over it, because the more you stress over the mojo, the creative snap not coming, the frustrated you'll get. The more frustrated you get, the more it's not going to come. You just kind of got to be happy with what comes out, whether it's something great, whether it's something not so great. Just kind of be content with what you get, and the anger won't, sabotage you. But start with sleep, and that might help with some of your other anxieties, and that might snowball into fixing other stuff too.
Try this out and do what Shiva says, but don't forget, pharmacology is pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. Anti-anxiety drugs do exist, and they can help you bridge the gap.
Well, they can also kind of numb you and kill some of the creative side. So
yeah, yeah. I'm just saying that there's also that out there, but yeah. It may have, you know, it's an option.
But you really need to try and stop worrying about whether people like you or don't like you. They're yep. just people. They're going to have various degrees of, you know, whatever. It's just going to eat you alive if you worry about it too much. So, that's me rambling. Sorry, the whole talking about, you know, artistic snap is something that's...
Yep.
It's happened to me a lot. Don't worry about it.
All right.
Is your gay showing?
My gay is showing.
I again. Thought so.
Hey, Nodcasters, it's Cartesian again. I'm just going to bug you with another problem of mine. Well, here's the thing. This year I came out to one guy who is a great friend of mine. Nothing wrong there, but there are now people who are already suspecting that I'm gay. Some of them even asked him. Being the good friend that he is, he gave them a nonchalant, I don't know, and promptly warned me because apparently my gay is showing. They said that I was too touchy-feely and that sometimes I just sounded plain gay. I'm really torn up about this because I kind of sensed it too. Now, other than the risk of having my parents hear about it and not send me to college, the new threat has appeared. The Exterminatus. Or not quite. In one of the other states, the Ministry of Education has been rounding up feminine male students and sending them to corrective facilities. So I would really like to keep my in-the-closet status. I know you guys don't get this a lot, but I need your help to stay in the closet. Getting a cover girlfriend is out of the question. I'm just not good-looking enough. Also, the too geeky to be a sexual being is a no. That cat's already out of the bag on that one. Anyways, just giving some good advice and to leave this shithole soon. Your Cartesian, your terrified tiger, sent from my iPod.
Man, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's some crazy shit. You know, anytime I hear about Ministry of, and like, it's...
Well, they have those in England and, you know, it's not...
This is Southeast Asia, though.
I know, and just Ministry of.
And I know it's a bit of ethnocentrism, but... It's like anytime I think Ministry of, and it's not regarding something American, which we don't have ministries, we have departments here. Mm-hmm. And Ministry of in England is regarded as something distrustworthy. Mm-hmm. And it kind of extends out further as to ministry by being called a ministry, therefore, is inherently religious. Corrupt. No, like Ministry of in terms of government. Is like inherently corrupt. It's this weird sort of it's an American ethnocentrism. I should check my privilege.
So how to stay straight so that he doesn't get in a...
I think it's a little bit of self-awareness. Mm-hmm. You know, keeping your hands, not moving around. Because I mean, I talk with my hands. I'm in a place that, you know, I don't have the fear that you do. Obviously I'm also not in college and not living at home with my parents. So definitely it's just one of those things that's like, be aware of your behavior and kind of try to fit in.
If anything else, it's going to be a lot like acting. You're going to have to sit back, observe body language from other males, who are presumably straight. You're going to have to sit back, observe body language, observe posture, tone. And if nothing else, think of it as putting on a role and taking off a role whenever you are in public. You're playing a part. And if you play a part long enough, it does become in second nature after a while. But you're going to have to become a study in human body language and make a conscious effort to do so and then try to mimic it. So that's...
Yeah, getting a girlfriend. Yeah, you could try hanging out with some more chicks. Maybe get some anime posters and hang them in your room. I did that.
Yeah. Get posters. You know,
scantily clad brown girls.
Yeah. Well, or, you know, if nothing else, it's think of it as just a facade. Maybe get some, I don't know if you're what you're allowed to do or if you have anything like a storage space, like we have lockers. I don't know, get some pretty girls to put up in them. You know, like magazine clippings, that's common, at least here. You find a couple of actresses to talk to friends about, oh, she's hot, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah.
I mean, it's a cover,
but it does seem like
it's also a save your ass kind of thing.
Yeah. So hopefully once you get sent away to college, things will be better.
Crazy ass.
But yeah.
Developing economies.
All right. So next time.
Then again, I'm just like, America. We're pretty backwards, too.
Yeah, I was going to say. Apologies and clarification. Dear Shiva and Saverin, in regards to my last email regarding my fears for being taken as a novelty due to my transgenderism, I'm sorry. Sorry if you're being overly sensitive and hurting your feelings. You didn't. By making you troubled by loving guys, gals, and everything in between. I don't mean to offend. You really didn't. We were just expressing a wide variety of opinions based on more than just your email. So your words of why don't they understand me really helped me reconsider my position on the matter of the being of the perfect fit. I'm just worried that if I don't find the perfect fit, then I'll be forever alone. I see now that you and many others legitimately care for the person inside and not the gender. This brings me to the conclusion that if I am looking for a person who cares for the political correctness of my body, then they are very shallow individual indeed. Due to your very well-deserved ravings, I have now begun the process of broadening the horizon, as it were. Thank you for being an anchor in the storm for me as I begin the highway to hell. The phrase, not the song, otherwise I'd be happy to pay. Your faffing furry fan from the fucking ice state, a.k.a. Sandfire. So, no, we weren't raging at you. That was a whole bunch of other stuff. You just, you happened to trip over the, one of the...
You pushed a button.
Yes. So, and you push button, receive rage. I don't know. So, no, you didn't hurt our feelings. You just tripped the trigger and got the rant. So, but I'm at least glad you reconsidered. So, okay.
All right. Here is a sort of a text. Continuation on finding someone. This is a follow-up from 2 or 3 weeks ago at this point, where Midnight Yamakidate, as he handily provided a pronunciation key at the bottom, Yamakidate.
So he didn't spell your name right.
Yeah, well, I think that...
His name is spelled S-A-V-R-I-N.
Yeah, but then the previous email said with an E. It's not exactly terribly important.
I know. I was just amused.
Yep. All right. So, hello again, Notcast. Just got finished listening to the episode after my friend, I realize I forgot to mention, is Voltaire. It is Voltaire, the one who once told you about how he tried to get his friends to listen to this, but were daunted by the amount of time it would need to be invested. Linked it to me. I think I should answer the few of the questions you brought up. I actually live in New Hampshire, too. So if you know where Hampstead is, I'm about 15-20 minutes from there. I do have both my license and a car, and about 30 minutes from Plaistow. Will not give my actual location, just in case. No stalkers for you. I tried going to college once before, to a college not 5 minutes from my house. It was a very small college, and one for the arts, writing, drawing, photography. But I took way too large a course load at once, and all my classes hit all my weak points in major creative writing. So I dropped out before any final grades be given. I'm attempting college again, hopefully in the spring, taking my counselor's suggestion at a computer class after hearing how much success he's heard with that kind of profession with a lot of people that have the same issues as me. NLD stands for Nonverbal Learning Disorder. What is NLD? It is a neurological syndrome consisting of specific assets and deficits. Assets include early speech and vocabulary development, remarkable memory skills, attention to detail, early reading skills development, excellent spelling. In addition, these individuals have the verbal ability to express themselves eloquently. Moreover, persons with NLD have a strong auditory retention. Four major categories of deficits and dysfunction also present themselves. Motoric, lack of coordination, severe balance problems, difficulty with graphomotor skills, so writing. Visual, spatial, organizational, lack of image, poor visual recall, faulty spatial perception, difficulty with executive function, asterisk, and problems with spatial relations. Social, lack of ability to comprehend nonverbal communication, difficulty adjusting to transitions and novel situations, and deficits in social judgment and social interaction. So, awkward. And sensory, insensitivity in any of the sensory modes, visual, auditory, tactile, taste, or olfactory. To put a summary, I have trouble with nonverbal cues or detecting sarcasm, for example. That seems to be a major issue for me. Anyways, another issue I'd like to ask about this journal, audio wall text, but I'll try to ask it next time. But just as a reminder myself, I'll put the subject of it here. My friend being very clingy and trying to press me into being online mates with him. Again, I'll go into more details later, but for now I think it's best to focus on this one problem. Thank you for the advice. Do see a bit more about how not all dating sites are like I thought. Sincerely, Midnight Yamakidate. P.S. I have also recently gone through losing 3 of my only 5 IRL friends, and the 2 remaining, well, one moved to Vermont with their family due to them having house issues, and another is juggling school, 2 jobs, his girlfriend, and visiting his dad because of his divorced family. This has been another hit to my confidence since I have been a few months without social interaction outside of my job. I even tried getting this friend 2 months in advance to see a comedy show in November, and he still is too busy. So, yeah.
Okay, I kind of know where Hempstead is. I'm from a good deal farther north, about 2 hours north of where you're at. I was, like, right up near the border with Canada. So, let's see. Let's see. It sounds like he's asking a question on how to cope with this.
Okay, well, as a follow-up, I mean, that does explain a couple things, like the lack of being able to detect sarcasm being a deficiency. Mm-hmm. That explains things a little bit further. It is good that you're going forward on the dating sites, maybe, trying them some. Wouldn't hurt to, if you're going to school, trying to meet some more people through there.
Maybe look at some of the clubs and classes.
Yeah, and definitely follow your counselor's advice in terms of getting your school stuff situated, because school's important.
And be careful about, like you said, look out for anything that might hit your creative writing hurdle all and at once.
As for the social thing, you really, you know, humans need social interaction. Just anybody needs it. And so I would suggest trying to find, like, a meetup group. It's not, doesn't have to be a furry one. Just, like, find a group of people via meetup.com or something similar. And hang out with people that you share an interest with.
Whether it's quilting or, I don't know, Matchbox cars or anything.
Yeah, know? I mean, there's got to be something in this great wide world that you can do as a social
outlet.
Yeah, social outlet.
You know, look at the community college. They probably, they might have anything from acting to clubs to,
oh yeah,
whatever. Look at some of the social hubs and see what you can find. I don't know anything about this, but I went to college up at Plymouth State, and there were tons of just little things that you could do. Whether or not you stuck with them, that's something else entirely. But you can at least pick at it and see. Hey, and if you don't get on with people the first couple meetings, it can take a couple meetings for people to warm up. Because knowing Yankees as I do, they can be slow to...
Slow to warm.
Yes. But you're not all that far from Boston, if you're in that general area. I know that there's a big group of furs down there. So you might look at some of the mass boards and see if there's anything going on there. Just an idea. Okay.
All right, so one last email. It's pretty short, and it's something we're going to actually kick to next week, but we should read it anyway.
Okay. Read Books of the Gay Variety. Greetings and salutations. As someone who reads a lot of books, I love a good story, a good world, and, of course, a good relationship between characters. However, being gay, there are very few books that cater my kind of relationship. I'm also very picky with books, and even those books with gay relationships get scrutinized neath an analytical eye. I like fantasy novels, those with magic, dragons, secret lands, more magic, and the like. A court looking at gay fantasy doesn't quite bring up the book I'm looking for. So, since you all read books and are gay, I'm wondering if perhaps you could suggest a couple titles that are gay and fantasy that aren't from furry publishers. I found that one book suits my fantasy, Hero by Peter Moore. It's a really well-written book, and I suggest you giving it a read. Thanks for your time, Shiro. Well, I happen to know a series that you might like. Mercedes Lackey writes the Harold de Valdemar series. Their homosexuality of various types features prominently in the novels. They're not always main character, but they're very much part of the world. The Vaniel series does feature a character that is homosexual. And it's kind of a tragic story, but it's still, for me, it was really important. I read it when I was first 15, and I recently just introduced my mate Sarah to these books. It was the first book I ever read by a mainstream author where the character was gay, and it was handled in a very well portrayed, yeah, you had the couple of people going, gay is bad. But for the most part, it was very normal. It was just his way of forming relationships. And it was really formative for me when I was 15 and just figuring out what the hell I was. There was also one by Richard K. Morgan. I'm trying to remember what the name of it was. Again, gay main character. That one's kind of a darker fantasy. I can look it up on Amazon. Trying to think of any of the others, just classics fantasy where one of the characters is gay or multiple. Those are the big ones that step out for me and go, hey, I think those are my major ones. Can you think of any, Saverin?
I'm a bad gay in that I don't read a lot of fiction, gay fiction, or I'm just a bit of a bad reader in general.
Well, let me pick around. Let me see if I can find any more. And then when we touch on this next week, I'll see if I can't come up with some more to suggest.
I read like gay fan fiction occasionally, but I don't read anything kind of mainstream.
But if you go on Amazon.com, there is actually a section for gay fantasy where it's actually fantasy books. They're kind of like that weird bridge between romance novel and fantasy, where it's that really gray area where it is just about gay characters having adventures. It's not, that might be a little bit steamy sex like you get in some romance novels, but there's also lots of fantasy to go with it. And, you know, I'm talking sword and sorcery, not, you know. So, but yeah, that's the section I saw on Amazon a couple of weeks back. And I was surprised this is a genre. Cool. But I'll see what I can't find.
Yeah. And plus, with Fuzz being at Gay Lexicon this weekend.
Oh, yes.
You'll have been exposed to tons of gay fiction.
Yay.
That might be right up your alley.
So we'll see what we can find.
Yep. He needs to be on a show.
Yes, he does.
Like next week will be like Return of the Fuzz.
The Fuzz strikes back.
Something like
he
that.
Strikes you repeatedly with a doorknob cane for a horrible, horrible.
God, no.
Beat the
no
Fuzz.
No views. No bueno.
So, next week is. Well.
Let's see, next week is.
Let's also put that out to our listeners. If anybody else can suggest any literary items with
non-furry gay fiction, but yes. Furry is okay too.
Whether it's main character, side character, figures prominently in the world, or whatever else. So, yeah.
Yep. So, there we go. You can find us on iTunes under Notcast. You can find us on Twitter under Notcast. On For Affinity. Live Journal, Notcast.
Just Notcast.
Find me on Twitter under Saverin Drake.
And I'm Chimera on Twitter.
So
same spelling as the gamer tag earlier in the
and
show.
And Fuzz is Fuzzwolf 2000.
Because he's been around a while.
Yep. I should tweet more on my Saverin Drake account.
Yes.
So.
I've had so much fried food today. I'm just like, woo.
I'm thinking either I might.
I need to have like a salad for like the next 3 days to fight off the amount of fried food I had yesterday. Oh my God.
I'm just kind of like, it's 10:13 now that we're wrapping up the show. And I'm like, I'm just going to go to bed.
No, I'm going to go home and play pandas. Then I'm going to go to bed.
I might play pandas. I'll see when Panther's going to be getting home finally.
I won't be long.
Off adventuring. And by venturing, he's probably watching Fringe or Warehouse 13.
I need to see.
Over at Webster's.
I've got Grimm to watch. I might watch Grimm.
Yeah. I'll tell you one thing I did, though, and this is kind of silly. You know that book right there, the Christie Golden Tides of War novel right there?
Yeah.
The other night, I sat down and was like, I'm going to read this book.
Did you fall asleep?
No. I was reading it up until 4:45 in the morning.
Oh.
Because I plopped my ass down on that couch and read.
Well, that's what Sarah did the other night. He was reading the first couple of those Lackey books, and he's like, yeah, I'm just going to read this for a couple minutes and go to bed. And then he finished the novel.
Yeah. I finished more than almost probably half of that novel the other night. It's not because it's like incredibly complex, deep writing. It's just a fun, light, fun read.
And it sucked you in.
And it sucked me in, and I was just enjoying the story. And then Panther walks out of the bedroom going, what the hell are you doing? It's like, I'm reading. What time is it? It's like 4:40. Oh, man.
Bed.
Yeah.
So I used to do that, but ever since I started taking those sleeping pills, I mean, I'll be feeling really awake, despite the fact that I've taken the sleeping pill like a couple hours earlier. Go in, start reading, and then just a combination of lying down comfortable, and I end up just kind of going, I've lost track of where I've read like three times, gone back after reread, and I'm still like, there's no reading comprehension left. Time to put down the book and zzzz. So I've actually slowed down a lot of my reading. On the other hand, I'm not staying up to 3 a.m. because I can't sleep. So, yeah, that's good. But, oh, I know I'm probably going to go home, take a hot shower, and I'm just feeling, between all the walking and it was really cold today, I am really, really stiff and sore. So, yeah. But, shall we end it there, sir?
Yep, it all is. Right. Time to close this pool. So on that note, good night.
And big balls.